Let's get back to the important stuff. Bear facts and fishtails. Join the conversation by calling 763-450-0100 right now.
All righty, we're back. Bear facts and fishtails, Mark and Larry here. Glad you're along with us, and we want to thank Mr. Paul Fabian again. Runs out of the Twin Cities and spends his time the whole summer over on Lake Michigan. It's wonderful. And he'll be on again after the Minneapolis Boat Show. We'll get him on. The phone number here is 763-450-0100. And Mr. Hansen, I presume?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm good. It's a tale of two stories.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I always tell like it is, man.
Yep.
Today I had to lick my wounds.
No.
Oh yeah, with my Australian and English friends.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh yeah.
Not today.
You can't cross an Australian.
You're lucky,
you're still alive.
Well, I can tell you, I learned a lot about fire.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, no kidding.
Fire even makes storms. I don't know if you guys knew that. I did not.
Oh, yeah. Heat going up is not a good thing.
There was even lightning. The one gentleman lives off of what's called Sun Something Beach. Mm. It's on the east side.
These people were actually in the fire area?
Yes.
Oh, man.
First fire, and here's the sad part. The first fire was actually just two kids messing around.
Right? A lot of arson.
Yep. And then the next two after that was arson.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, the first fire for him, his wife, and two kids, they had to pack up their car, and they took turns sleeping until the authorities said you have to leave. And they left, and then there were two more fires after that, after they came back, which were actually closer to their home. I got to see video.
Mm-hmm.
But they had lightning in one, and one had a tornado which flipped one of the fire trucks over that weighs like 22,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm. And just lobbed it over.
That.
Jeez.
I never knew that happened.
Well, that hot air going up into the atmosphere, it's just sort of normal summer. That's why we have the storms in the summer.
Yep.
I've seen volcanic lightning, too. Like, whenever a volcano's erupting, a lot of times there'll be crazy lightning involved in that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's too bad.
Wow. You
know. But we got to remember, we're living in places now where we never used to, and, you know, it just happens.
Here's one of the biggest things. You know how come California gets the fires? Because it's against the law to remove the brush, the underbrush, okay?
Right.
They had the same laws. Those laws do not exist today.
The Voyageurs National Park Syndrome in northern Minnesota.
Well, like those fires have been happening forever. Like there's always been fires in Australia, fires in California.
Mm-hmm. But it burnt more... And ruin more stuff because they wouldn't let people get rid of the crummy trees and stuff, all right?
Yep. Right, and that's the same in California.
Yep, same thing, Larry. Identical. Yeah, but now because of the fires, they have a prime minister, whoever. Nope, now it's mandatory and they're paying you to eliminate that from your land.
Now they're paying you.
Now they're paying you, Mark. It's the opposite.
Before they would take you to jail, fine you, and take your money.
Yep.
And now they want you to go and buy a chainsaw, burn gas, and they'll pay you.
Did you hear about the snipers and helicopters that are going to be taking out thousands of camels?
No.
Yeah.
They got a camel problem in the desert out there. The whole middle of Australia is filled with camels.
Okay. Wow.
That never came up today. But...
Well, they probably eat them. They probably have a camel season out there.
It'd be fun, hunting camels.
They are too ugly to eat. That's all I got to say.
I'm not even. I hear you. Well.
It isn't funny. We wish Australia, they're our buddies.
Yeah,
we
it's tragic.
Australian people.
It really is. It really is.
They'll make it out of this.
Yep.
And those people that they caught, they are all getting prosecuted.
It was like hundreds, wasn't it? Like over 100 people.
183. Jeez. Okay. Yep. So what I didn't ask was, were those losers putting it on Facebook or on some sort of social media? How do you get caught?
Yeah, that's curious.
Yeah, probably. I know.
With that many people. Yeah, with that many people, somebody was foolish enough to do so.
Yep, or evidently somebody squealed.
Good.
A group of them squealed. Yeah.
I hate to say it, but they're probably associated with some end-of-the-world global warming deal.
That Larry, yep. Exactly right.
Yep.
I didn't really hate to say that. I just said it.
Yeah.
Got to do that. Well, Mr. Hansen, what else has been going on? Has it been some good days, or have they all been marginal of late?
No. Today was just a total loss. Had fish come in, no bite. Pike comes in, away goes the sunnies. And then that was kind of it.
Mm.
Prior to that, you had to work a little bit, but at least you get them to go.
Yep.
So that's just how it was. And then, so it happens.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to sleep well tonight, but there's nothing I can do about it,
Right. Have you had these same people out before?
Yeah, Larry, six times.
Oh, yeah, well, I think they probably...
They know.
They didn't really care.
No. They still enjoyed it. What I'm...
Yeah,
that's good.
Lures. Even I went to Beadhead. Okay, I did everything under the sun possible, and
But, interesting.
You know when people work. If you hire a guy and he works his tail off, and it works out in the end.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Why they call it fishing and not catching, right?
Wow.
Well, and when you have a camera to show, and then a couple of locators going, and you see the fish come in on their locators, and nothing happened either. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see it all happen right in front of you with technology, right? Good days and bad days.
Right. And you got to stay positive, But yep.
Did you understand all of their colloquial statements? Everything new that, because I know the first few times I've met people from Australia, they have words that I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Linder, he creates new ones.
Yeah.
Crikey.
Yeah. New words.
Positively.
Different.
Yes, I love
it.
The
word mate that gets me.
That's good.
Because they're talking about their buddies, and I still haven't gotten used to it. Probably it's not their wife.
Not their wife or girlfriend, right?
My mate.
My mate. Yeah.
But I love it.
Yeah.
But they're outdoors people. So
that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you seeing our fish, do you think, moving around, or are they just getting attitudes because of weather's just kind of changing up now a little bit?
I'm going to say it's more negative, Mark.
Let's really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'm not fishing at night, so I can't tell you anything about that. But yeah, it seems you have to work at it. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're just letting it sit there, you're not going to catch anything. So you have to jig.
You're engaged. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. You have to be attentive and the whole shebang.
Good.
So, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. So, but I got 14 inches of ice.
14 inches?
Yeah.
Good.
Well, is anybody driving out?
I'm one of them.
Okay.
So you're driving on of course, you know the lake really well, so.
Yeah.
You sent somebody else out first in a bigger car, didn't you?
Well, I'm driving a Suburban, Larry, and it's still hairy the first time. I don't care what anybody says.
It is.
It's still hairy, even though I know exactly where I'm going.
Yeah.
It's still.
Windows down, doors cracked.
I think anybody with any kind of common sense has a little... fuzzy feeling about driving on the ice. I know I have, and I've been doing it for a very long time.
Fuzzy is going easy on it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what keeps you going.
Oh, man.
I'm not changing the subject, but I got to tell you, because I don't want to forget, the walleyes are committing suicide on Mille Lacs.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I talked to Butch, but, you know, I might, I'll fill in a little bit later, but if, I didn't want to forget saying that because some people want to know. They want to go up there, so.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's, yeah. Yeah. So did
so Minnetonka Walleye.
I
was just going to ask you about walleyes on Minnetonka. I mean, what were you actually fishing for?
Sunny's Larry.
Okay,
and
you were pike. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, I have
which is
been out in
a
evening,
smart choice.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but there's not a whole lot of activity of people.
I suppose so, not.
Mm-mm. Well. Go ahead, Larry.
It must have been fairly chilly down there the last couple of days, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't know.
You know, ice fishing, and you know, other than a few big lakes where to the north, it's been a tough year for wheelhouses and accessibility. You know, if you're just starting to drive out with 14, you know, there's a lot of people that are not enjoying the winter camping spirit as they have in the past.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Minnetonka is one of them where you're just probably not seeing the wheelhouses.
No, you're not. And there's still, you know, people parking and walking and pulling, you know, and you drive by them, they can look at you kind of funny. But I've been doing it for 4 days.
Right.
So, but anyway, it's, but there's no slush.
Okay.
You know, I told you that before, but Larry did. Did Butch say anything about the slush on Mille Lacs? Did that go away?
It's but there's so many resorters with plowed roads out there, and, you know.
Yeah, that's
so. And they don't have, you know, I don't, well, they did get quite a bit of snow. Butch had a problem. There's some problems up there, but again, go out of the resort. And if you have a wheel horse, yeah, I'd like to see a horse with wheels. If you have a wheelhouse, you have to be careful. If you, most of the resort owners are going to tell you, do not park close to the fish houses that are already out there. You got to get off to the side a little bit.
Well, common courtesy.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. And sometimes what is that, you know?
Exactly.
Well, the guy that told me I couldn't fish on his tracks would be one of those that might have a problem. You didn't hear the beginning of the story, Larry, and we're not going to repeat it, but no. The beginning of the show. Yeah.
Larry's got a new friend up on Lake of the Woods.
Yeah. Well, he heard words he's never heard before. I think he's tamed down by now.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Some people deserve it once in a while to get nailed, you know.
Yep. So really what you're saying is, Mr. Hansen, is portability has been winning out this season so far.
Yeah.
And here we are, the second week in January. So until we get some cold weather, you know, hopefully the snow holds off long enough so that, get some cold weather and get the ice to go where people can start moving around as they always have.
Right. And the part is just being safe, number one.
Yeah.
But, and I think this week we'll hit 18 inches, I would imagine, by Friday. So somewhere in there. And that's good ice then. I mean,
yep.
So.
Oh, yeah, you're if they don't get a lot of heavy snow, you still could have a slush problem. If you have a really heavy 10 inches of wet snow, would be a bad thing. But you got enough ice now that it's
good.
And then, you know, snowmobilers and even wheelers. There wasn't many wheelers out at all. Then that all those things that you see, aren't happening. So I don't know what to say about it.
It's odd.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't believe that they're all have gone further north. You know,
no.
Accessibility and conveniences locally. And plus, there's a lot of great areas to fish around here within the Twin Cities area, not that far out.
Mm-mm.
Well, more on that later. We'll find out.
That's right.
All right, buddy. Well, throw some numbers out.
Right. 612-810-5096 and 612-810-5096.
All right, buddy. Well, you take care, Lair.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, bud. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, with that, good report. Kind of interesting, though. With that, we're going to run for a short pause. You're listening to Bear Facts and Fishtales on the Mighty Bob Radio Network. The phone number here is 763-450-0100. We'll be right back.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to Bear Facts and Fishtales anytime.
The start of a brand new year is a great time to make changes and improvements. So if you've got cracked teeth, missing teeth, or loose old wobbly dentures, then ImplantMiracle.com invites you to get a brand new smile and save a lot of money with beautiful, top-quality, long-lasting dental implants as low as $2,499 per tooth. Other places charge $4,000, $5,000, even $6,000 per tooth. But at ImplantMiracle.com, our price is as low as $24.99 per tooth. That's a great deal. Plus, we offer free consultations, free standard x-rays, and easy payment options to fit your budget. So as we begin a brand new year, do something nice for yourself by not overpaying for dental implants. Instead, come to ImplantMiracle.com, the local dental office where implants are very affordable. For more information, see our website, ImplantMiracle.com. That's ImplantMiracle.com.
Here's Bolig for Frankie's.
Frankie, my buddy Frankie, number one Ranger dealer in the world, and this is the time of the year to buy a boat. He sells Ranger boats made out of aluminum and fiberglass, bass boats, walleye boats, even Ranger pontoon boats, or maybe you just need a new outboard motor. No, he loves selling things, and he always gives the best prices. That has a lot to do with why he's number one. Now, down the road, if you have to have something done, like a repair, he's got an 8-stall service center. By the way, a really nice showroom. Everything's on display. And his two sons are the head wing nuts in the back. They've been rigging bass and walleye boats for many, many years and doing mechanical repair. So it's a full service place. Now, when you are buying a boat that costs a few thousand dollars, you need to know that it's going to be handled and they're going to be rigged professionally. And that's what they do so well, because they fish out of all these boats themselves. They're fishermen at Frankie's in Chisago City. You can give them a call at 651-257-6334 or go online. Now remember, these boats don't be built. They're not built in one day. And if you want to have it by opening day, it's not too early to buy one, because I'll guarantee you the prices aren't going to be any better in 2 weeks, okay? So give them a try if you're in the market. That's Frankie's in Chisago City, Minnesota.
Here's an important ice fishing announcement from IceFishMN.com. With all the bad weather, you can still go ice fishing in premium sleeper ice houses on good ice in the Brainerd Lakes area. IceFishMN.com has 2017 or newer ice houses available for rental right now. In addition, IceFishMN.com is available to provide transportation to your premium ice house too. Reserve now at IceFishMN.com. You can still ice fish in Minnesota with IceFishMN.com.
Don't miss the next Crocodile Productions Gun and Knife Show at the Brooklyn Park Armory this Saturday and Sunday, January 18th and 19th. Open 9 to 5 Saturday and 9 to 3 Sunday, only $5 per day. Kids under 12 get in free when accompanied by a responsible adult. Buy, sell, or trade guns, knives, military relics, even Grandpa's old footlocker, all in one location. Visit CrocodileProductions.com or check out their Facebook page for more information. That's CrocodileProductions.com.
You're listening to Bear Facts and Fishtails in Bob Country. KLCI Elk River, KLCI HD1 Elk River, KDDG Albany, KDDG HD1 Albany, KBGY Faribault.
Now, more Bear Facts and Fishtails with Mark and Larry. Join in the show by calling 763-450-0100.
All righty, we're back. Bear Facts and Fishtails. Mark and Larry here on a beautiful Sunday night. We're inviting your phone calls, folks, at 763-450-0100. And Brandon, lines are lit up, buddy.
They are. We're going to kick things off with Tom Newstrom. Tommy, you're on with the boys.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, I missed Larry Hansen's report. Did he have a good report from down his area?
Not really.
today was tough, and it's been tough, but they're finally getting some reasonably solid ice, 14 inches.
Yeah, it's you know, it's tough up here. I mean, it's the slush is a problem, and I know we've been doing fishing reports up here and tell people that it's kind of walking only, a little bit with snowmobile, but other than that, they're really, unless this cold weather that's we had cold weather last night, and it's going to be cold the next couple nights, and then next week we've got a couple cold nights. But it doesn't matter because we have so much insulated snow over the top of the ice that we had. There's a lot of water in between. So, I know up by Larry, it's a little better. I know Lake of the Woods is good. Yeah. I don't think I've ever in my entire ice fishing life saw so many wheelhouses going south from up north.
Really?
I have the last 2 weeks. Yeah, I've never seen nothing like it.
Huh.
There's nowhere for them to go.
I was just going to say accessibility and places to hang your hat are tough.
Yeah.
Conditions aren't good.
Yeah, it's tough. And, you know, I wanted to call and just discuss this with you, both of you. You know, Larry, I don't, you know, I mean, we don't talk scientific stuff very often, but barrel trauma, which is when the fish can't make it back down out of deep water, I get a little sometimes even watching some of the shows on ice fishing on TV and they're catching them in 30 to 40 feet and letting them go. I really honestly don't think those fish are making it.
Well, you're right. A big percentage don't make it, and the DNR keeps putting it out there, especially lake trout are the only exception as far as what I know of because they don't operate the same way. So, folks, lake trout, you can bring them out of 100 feet and they can swim right back down. But everything else, you can't.
Well, you know, Larry, I think northern pike are the same. I mean, I don't. They're not the same as lake trout. But no. I think you take them out of deeper water and they recover good. Because we've caught them in the summer in 40 feet and they've actually done really well. And they have that valving system, I'm not sure.
Yeah, they're probably capable of getting, if any fish gets down there, then they're all right. Like sometimes you'll release a crappie that you don't know, maybe it's sticking out a little bit, and you watch them swim all the way down. Once they get down there, then they're fine. From what I understand about that, anyway, So.
And plus, if you don't see, you know, like sometimes you'll see that, you'll see that, like we call it a bubble in the throat, you know, and what we see is their air sac. When we see that, usually that fish isn't going to make it, and we usually will catch those fish. But I don't know. It's just been kind of some interesting stuff watching some of the shows on TV lately, and I just kind of wonder when they say they're getting them out of, you know, 30 to 40 feet. I just don't know if those crappies or bluegills are making it.
Yeah, one of the problems with YouTube and all the videos and stuff out is a lot of these guys are young guys, and they really don't have a lot of experience. And they forget to tell people, or they make mistakes. And then if you're a fan of those, you should email them and say, hey, you know, I notice that a lot, Tom, and being a retired old guy, I happen to watch a lot of YouTube, so I see that. I know what you're talking about.
Well, I think, you know, we've all done the same thing. You know, we learn through that, you know, sometimes a selective harvest deal is a great deal, but a lot of times when you're dropping a crappie or a gillback down through the hole, not just once, but who knows how many times you see this fish come crossways just under the ice, right at the bottom of the hole. And it's like, ooh, how many of them aren't making it, you know? So, yeah. It's too bad.
It's just a point of interest.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to find out what kind of plans, you know, DNR might have for some sort of a scientific approach to, you know, circumvent this process.
Well, they just tell you not to release them.
Not to release. Yeah.
I mean, which is true. And we have a problem with the...
I thought it was a nice thing to bring up, you know, for guys to start thinking about it a little bit, especially when we're going into the season now where... When a walleye season closes at the end of February, most guys are going to be out targeting panfish.
Yep.
It's just something for them to think about a little bit. You know,
that's
you get
good.
Your fish, catch what you need, and you know, maybe you got to move off, or maybe you go into shallower water or something like that. But just don't sit over a hole with lots of crappies and, you know, catch 25, 30 and think that they're all going to make it, because it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's just yeah. not going to.
A little more logic. Go ahead.
I was going to tell you guys something, too. This week starts the House and the Senate, and they got some bills coming up, and one of them is on the four walleye limit from Senator Root from Brainerd.
Yep.
And there's some good stuff coming up.
Okay.
And they're gonna put this right to the legislature and the Senate in the next few weeks. So we're gonna see how that goes. They haven't done that yet, and we're gonna see what their interest is.
Hmm.
Yep.
That'll be interesting.
Oh. Yeah, I just read it today. It was I think it was Tony Kennedy's article in Minneapolis Tribune. So okay. It'll be interesting to see how all that stuff goes. But.
Joe Felagy had a piece about it, but he wants it to go down to 3, and then I agree with him, and it should go down to 2. I just said I threw that out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a lot of stuff thrown out there, that's for sure. We got lots of things going on. We got the round table. I know, Larry, you don't go anymore, but that's the end of the month, and mm-hmm. there's some okay. interesting things to come out of that, and then I'll give you guys a report on that after I attend. So,
okay.
But anyway, that's about it, guys. I'm going to go to Lake of the Woods on Tuesday, and I will. I'll let you know how that goes.
Tell hello.
Even though you don't understand why I'm saying this, do not drive in my tracks.
Not a good mm-hmm. thing, apparently. Say hello to our little buddy for me up there.
I sure will.
All right. Definitely. Take care, Tommy.
You take care. Good night.
Thanks for the call, pal. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.
I think he goes out of, I forget the name of the place. It's right on the river there, and he goes out on that.
All right, Brandon,
by
sir.
By 4 mile, B.
Okay.
Well, here we got a good call, a little blast from the past. We haven't heard from him in a while. It's Buzz, our resident wildlife expert. Buzz, you're on.
Buzz, happy Guys. New Year.
Happy New Year to you all. How are you doing?
Well,
good.
We're good. How about you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Business is dipping a little bit. I love softwater fishing, but because of the business I'm in,
yep.
I do a little more hard water fishing than softwater fishing. It's just you got to make hay when you make hay, and when I'm making hay, I can't be in a boat.
There you go.
Most of the varmints are in hibernation.
A little bit. You know, God bless the squirrels.
Oh, yeah.
Because they keep us, we'd all be part-timers in this business if it weren't for squirrels. So we love the squirrels.
They wake up on sunny days.
Is there a discernible difference between the fear factor in a red squirrel over a gray squirrel? Because squirrels seem to just sit on a railing and defy you as you're banging on a window to move on. Gray squirrels, they're gone.
Yeah. I love red squirrels. Most of my clients, most of the people in the cities hate them because they're more troublemakers. But I love them because they're little tough little guys.
Well, they are tough little guys.
And I identify, it's not biological, it's just emotional.
Yep.
I identify gray squirrels like rats. I mean, in the middle of the city, they're just everywhere. They're in the trash. They're eating out of restaurants. They're eating out of the trash containers. And I've caught thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. I don't know.
Yep.
And I have in my yard. I live in Edina. I have some Austrian pines and some black spruce that my dad. We had a cabin on the Gunflint Trail growing up. Probably why I'm in the business I'm in.
Sure.
But transplanted black spruce and whatever. And I got gray squirrels everywhere, but I got a red squirrel group. You know, it's not the same red squirrel that always are hanging out in these certain Austrian pines. And I just love them. I just like them. And they've been in my house. This is how I got in the business, among other ways. It's actually my mom's house, but they got, you know, I've had to trap a couple times.
Yeah.
But I just, they're tougher.
They
you
are.
Know, you've all seen red squirrels chasing the gray squirrels. It's true. They need more territory. And also, a little sidebar here. So this year, the first time I ever saw this was 2014, and then I just saw it this year. I saw this huge pile of pine cones at the base of these Austrian pines. I'm like, what is going on there?
Yep.
Well, it was a food cache. I'd never seen that before. This is my mom's house.
Yep.
And it was a horrible winter. Well, I just saw it again this winter. I saw it about 2 months ago. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what's going on with all the pine cones, little red squirrel?
Yep.
And it's been a tough winter. It hasn't been brutal yet, but it ain't over.
No.
And he's got a big this little squirrel, he or her or him or whatever,
stashing,
chasing off the gray squirrels and got a big pile of pine cones, at two piles, huge. I'm talking like it would fill a 5-gallon bucket.
Oh, yeah.
At the base of a tree.
There,
so,
I've got a couple in my wood piles.
Oh, my God.
You got them?
Yep.
They got some piles?
Yep. And the pine cones and how they destroy pine cones and go through it, are they going for the heart of the pine cone? Is that what they're after? Or are they stashing the little...
They're making little food caches and they're eating the seeds. I think I'm right on this. They're eating the seeds inside the pine cones, so you see them, and you know, you see those little areas where there's a bunch of shredded pine cones. That's called a midden, M-I-D-D-E-N.
Okay,
the food area. They pick the same spots a lot. It might be a branch.
Yep.
In my case, they have their favorite spots, just like you like to go to your little breakfast nook.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that, and they just tear them down, and they'll eat other stuff. And you've probably seen two.
Yep.
They trim the ends off of pine trees,
yes.
The new buds and stuff. And there's that science is not. Nobody knows exactly why they do that.
Yep.
But some say they need some whatever offered in the sap. I don't know. I've researched it so much. It's like nobody knows.
They're fascinating.
Anyway, it's all good. I love red squirrels. God bless them. They're troublemakers, but they're tough little buggers. And
excuse me. Why are they tough?
Well,
I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah, you tell me.
If you had to
where
eat
you live.
Pine tree needles your whole life and you would be really in a bad temper your whole life. Now, gray squirrels, they get to eat butternuts and walnuts and all that, but pine tree red squirrels, they only get to eat that.
I'm with you, Larry. And those gray squirrels are eating French fries and pizza slices in the city. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yep.
Yeah. No,
high on the categories.
Well, here's the deal. There. So there's an old saying, right? Misery loves company. And we don't want people to be unsuccessful, but misery loves company. So I went fishing today. I went out to Black Lake, not a secret spot.
Mm-hmm.
Very community spot. And, man, it was... Just God bless you, Larry Hansen. It was tough. I was marking fish everywhere. And I popped a nice crappie, and you know, this is how life works, right?
Yep.
Popped a nice crappie, two bluegills in the first 10 minutes. I'm like, this is going to be a banner day. And then lockjaw. Just, I'm trying the kitchen sink, man. I got live bait. I got this. Yeah, that's what I ended up with. It was one crappie and two bluegills. I wanted to have a little fish, small bluegill, I don't keep the big ones.
Yep.
But the point is, it's like absolutely, just echoing what Larry said, I had about 10 inches, 11 inches in Black Lake. So and just everything you said was exactly on. I didn't see hardly any snowmobiles, four-wheelers, people walking out, and the bite was tough. So, you know, you don't know, right? Barometric pressure, I don't know, but the fish were on the graph all over the place, and they just didn't care.
Hmm.
So that's why we like
chasing
fish, right?
That's part of the game.
It must be I don't have the right lures, so I'm going to go to the shop tomorrow and get some more lures.
Oh, yeah. You got to stimulate the economy for sure. Yeah.
Amen.
Never so much do you not understand until you just whack them. And then you learn more though when it goes the other way, it seems.
You do, but we're living for those days, right?
That's right. That's exactly.
I don't keep a lot of fish, but I wanted to keep some today, and I got a couple, and that's okay. But it's a lot of work for two morsels.
Yep, I hear you, bud. Well,
okay.
We'll
Happy New Year. Hey,
same to you.
Good to talk to you. I'll be, I'm sure things will pick up and we'll be touching base more frequently.
Sounds good. We'll see you down at the boat show.
Okay.
We'll be wandering around, I'm sure.
For sure.
Take care, Buzz.
See you, Buzz.
Bye-bye. All right, time for us to go to some sponsorship supports. Bear Facts and Fishtails, Mark and Larry on the Mighty Bob Radio Network. 763-450-0100 gets you right in. A short pause and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Bear Facts and Fishtails, part of Bob Outdoors. Mark and Larry are ready to take your calls at 763-450-0100. That's 763-450-0100. Good music for a great cause. The Minnesota Country Salute CD Volume 6 from Bob FM, available now at select Cub locations. Find yours at mybobcountry.com.
IceFishMN.com wants to remind you that you can still ice fish in one of their premium sleeper ice houses in the Brainerd Lakes area. Reserve now at IceFishMN.com. You can still ice fish in Minnesota with IceFishMN.com.
Here's Bolig.
Vexlar, over 60 years helping people catch more fish, including me. In fact, in 1989, if I remember correctly, I got my first three-color flasher called the FL-8, and it still works today, by the way. The three-color flasher greatly enhanced the visibility of flasher fish finder. By the way, I now have an FLX-28, which has a lot of features. It's the top of their line, okay? The most expensive one they have. It has automatic depth range with digital readout, which is really neat. A brushless technology, so it's not going to wear out. Five colors that you can select, so you choose the color that is right for you. In my case, my primary color will be white. On yours, if you have an older model, it'll be red. Now, sometimes some people, especially men, are a little bit colorblind to the color red, so you might be one of those. Now, the best way to look at all their products is to go online at vexlar.com. There's all kinds of things you can buy online, including other types of packages for ice fishing. The glow ring is something I have on mine. It attaches right to my unit. It's a little set of lights in a circle. You drop your little glow ring, your little jig down there that has phosphorescent in it, it lights it up. Or you can buy a DD100, which will give your older Vexlar a digital readout. Underwater cameras, extra transducers, batteries, the K-drill, all that. Online at Vexlar.com. You can give them a call because they're local. They're down in Bloomington, Minnesota, 952-884-5291 or Vexlar.com. By the way, they also sell reconditioned units. Whatever you do, if you're going ice fishing, you don't want to leave home without your Vexlar.
The start of a brand new year is a great time to make changes and improvements. So if you've got cracked teeth, missing teeth, or loose old wobbly dentures, then ImplantMiracle.com invites you to get a brand new smile and save a lot of money with beautiful, top-quality, long-lasting dental implants, as low as $2,499 per tooth. Other places charge $4,000, $5,000, even $6,000 per tooth. But at ImplantMiracle.com, our price is as low as $24.99 per tooth. That's a great deal. Plus, we offer free consultations, free standard x-rays, and easy payment options to fit your budget. So as we begin a brand new year, do something nice for yourself by not overpaying for dental implants. Instead, come to ImplantMiracle.com, the local dental office where implants are very affordable. For more information, see our website, ImplantMiracle.com. That's ImplantMiracle.com.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snowplow dealer. Looking to get rid of that unwanted snow this year? Hinneker is the way to go. With their quick attach and flare top trip edge system, makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for residential or commercial use. Have a Bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Visit them online at crystalwelding.com.
Let's get back to the important stuff. Bear Facts and Fishtails. Join the conversation by calling 763-450-0100 right now.
All righty, we're back. Bear Facts and Fishtails. Mark and Larry here. Glad you're along with us. Phone number to participate is 763-450-0100. 800-400-0100. That'll get you right in here. What else is going on, Bowling?
Well, my crows and ravens are... I've been feeding them heartily, dead minnows and cereal. My wife comes home with cereal that I don't like. I feed that to the crows, especially if it has berries in it or raisins and things like that. So that's how I'm living up here now, because we have such a torrid winter.
Great. Did you, have you ever been down on the Crow Wing, what would this be, the Pine River? There was a neat article in the Star Tribune today about there's a little repair job that's going to go on with a dam that was done years and years ago by the Corps of Engineers. And some money got put to good use from the Outdoor Heritage Fund for $1.2 million grant, which was great. And this Pine River, it was interesting, Lair. It's the 13 river miles of the U.S. Corps of Engineers from the dam in Cross Lake to the Mississippi River in Crow Wing County is what they're talking about, that stretch up in there. And so it's an ancient old dam that has got a couple breaches in it, and they need it to maintain the water levels in some lakes below it. So
who's gonna pay for that?
That's the Outdoor Heritage Fund.
Okay, well, I guess that would be kind of a... There's a lot of people living on those lakes up there, so...
Yeah.
You know, but that's kind of like... Ain't that on the edge of what should go and what shouldn't? I'm not quite sure.
I'd have to... I don't know.
I mean, it would be a personal opinion. I'm all for it, don't get me wrong, but...
Yeah, but it's along the lines of what those funds were supposed to be earmarked for, you know? In some way... To maintain, you know, health standards and maintain fisheries and that sort of thing. Where this one is, you know, there's not that many species of game fish apparently that live in this river, but certainly, obviously, up in Cross Lake and all of that.
Well, that river, by the way, that's the, dang it, I can't remember the name of that river, but there is a spawning run.
Pine River.
The Pine River is what a lot of the whitefish chain walleyes go up into.
Yep.
So it is a good thing that that's controlled by a dam, because in a drought year, they could actually raise the water level so the walleyes have, enough water to spawn on. So it is pretty, I'd say it was a pretty critical.
Yeah.
System up
but
there.
But it's good. You know, we get a lot of negativism about some of the expenses or expenditures made and where they go. And this one is definitely one that's going to work out. And that's good. That's how our money should go.
I got to tell you this story, if you don't have a caller. Read this in Outdoor News. They killed three mountain lions that they in Arizona that they found feeding on human remains.
Oof.
And they killed them.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because those lions were along a famous hiking path. No. I'm trying not to be, but you know my fear of mountain lions, you know that, even when
it's
I
well
go
documented.
Into the deer.
Yep.
You know, yeah. Yeah. So, but the funny thing about it is, of course, because conservationists or the anti-human being type people who just think animals should come first are really upset over this whole deal.
Sure.
So, you know, I mean...
That's what they do.
Folks, if you're hiking in mountain lion country, wear a backpack and then put one of them things around your neck, because it could save your life.
Yeah.
I'm serious about that.
Yeah, I think it's a good tip.
There you go.
Yeah, because they tack from behind and they go for the neck.
Aha.
And carry a big knife. In my case, go out and get a license so you can carry a pistol.
Yep, that's the safest way to be.
All right.
You know that sound.
It is him, the handsome devil himself.
I'm here.
Chris.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, buddy.
Warm enough for you?
I hope you've been eating some fish, Art, and you're healthy again.
Well, I had two meals this week.
You're looking right. Good, Grizz.
Yeah, I had to go to the doctor on Monday, but I went Tuesday, limped out to one of my good spots, and it paid off good.
Nice.
Yep. Took me a while to get there, you know, caning on the ice. Cane won't work good on the ice unless you got a nail in it.
I was going to say, you would probably have a nail in it.
No, I don't. I walked where there's a little snow.
Grizz, you can get canes with the rubber tip with little spikes in it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you go call your medical profession.
Yeah.
They'll set you up.
Yeah, I need one. I made it out there twice this week. So.
Yeah.
God, I got a good bluegill bite going and got the whole lake to myself, too. You know, fishing about 9.5 feet of water, and you get there about 3 o'clock and you'll get your limit, and from 4:30 to 5, as fast as you drop it in, you get a sunfish, you know, and they're all, you don't have to sort through them neither.
And, amazing.
Yeah.
Would you actually tell us what part of the metropolitan area is? People can get in their cars and survey all the local lakes?
Yeah. Just north of the cities.
Might as well give your address and tell them what time you're going to head out in the morning.
Yeah.
They can follow you.
Yeah, wait long enough for you to even cut the holes.
Yeah.
Go to Frankie's, folks. He'll show up in there.
Yeah.
Then you can follow him from there.
Yeah. You know, it's unbelievable the way sitting there at the FL-28, you know, in the hole, right at 4:30, you know, I had a couple of fish, you know, and all of a sudden when 4:30 hit and the sun was getting low, doggone, hole filled up. I was in 9.5 feet of water. I only had to fish 5 feet down. So, of course, I'm thinking ahead, so I use my peg stick with the spring bobber on it, you know, and that way I can get down there faster. So, you know, I jerked out a good limit and went over to Jack's the next day. We cleaned them and had a big fish dinner, and I went back again here. I ate fish yesterday again. So, I play the weather now. I don't sit out in that cold crap anymore.
When your FLX-28 lit up, did you start salivating?
Oh, yeah.
You drew just like a bulldog that was just coming down your chin.
Yeah. At first I thought sometimes you get some interference on, where your jig is, you know. And
right.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought happened. But when I pulled out, I got a really in about a 9.5-inch sunfish and pulled it up, and I dropped my line in. I got down not quite to the 5 feet, and my line stopped. I lifted up on it. Holy crap, you know, and it was, the thing just stayed like that for a half hour. And then, you know, but you go in there during the day, you can fish. You get a couple here and there, but that's about it. So I just started going there about 3 o'clock, you know. No use sitting there all day when you don't have to.
Yep.
And, yeah, I got a good bite going, so I'll go out this week. It warms up again, so try some bluegill. And
yeah, it's not going to be too bad of a week weather-wise. We're going to get a nice little mix and some days in the 30s, so that's good.
Yeah, as long as the wind don't blow, you know. Well, at 30, the wind don't bother me, but, you know, when it gets down to 18 or 14 degrees, you get a, you know, 10, 15-mile-an-hour wind, well, that isn't, you know, fun, so.
Well, it's going to dip on Thursday down to 9 degrees, it says, in the Twin Cities, and then next Sunday and Monday cold, but in the 30s and 20s.
Oh, yeah.
This week, so that's all right.
Yeah, I'll be getting out. I got, all week, nothing going, and Jack had to go to Detroit Friday, so
okay.
He gets back this week, we'll go fishing. He's biting at the bit. I sent him out to the lake out there, and he caught a northern, you know. He just got to the lake. He drilled about 3 holes, and he caught two bass, and then he got a northern about 4.5-5 pounds, and he didn't stay too long. And he's got his K drill, a 6-inch that he had, and he got this northern in a hole. I don't know what he was thinking of, but he said he went to grab him behind the head, and the northern come flying up out of there and grabbed his 3 fingers on his hand. He left a blood trail, honest to God, but 350 yards all the way to the car.
No.
And when he got up to the car, I knew where his car was parked because all over in the parking lot there was blood all over the place out there.
Good thing he wasn't pitching a game.
Yeah.
He survived all those batters all these years, And one little pike takes him down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he went down big time, too. He helped me clean fish the next day. He had three fingers all taped up.
Oh, man.
And, well, he learned a lesson. Don't grab a northern when he's got his mouth open. He said it didn't, but, you know, pulling him up that hole, you know, and he's, well,
yep.
Well, anyway, he got it.
Did he fry it up?
No, he put it back.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, they got to be 26 inches. This one is about 25 and a half. So, yeah.
Well, you're getting close to naming the lake now.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting a slot limit, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talk to Terry?
Yeah, today, about 3 hours ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says the ice conditions up on Mille Lacs where he isn't good. He hasn't got a house out. He don't have anything. Oh, he's just letting them go with snowmobiles and four-wheelers and then Garrison Sports went out 2 days ago and checked the ice. They said it isn't good enough. And there's a resort in between there that they're noted for letting you go out when the ice isn't safe. I don't want to mention any names, but, you know, and I guess on the other end of the lake, some truck went through and one of the resort owners down there, you know him too, but I ain't going to say his name either, but it wasn't a big truck neither, but it went through the ice the other day. So...
Well, they're driving on the east side.
Yeah. Well, they're driving out, you know, like Fork side and Fort side and stuff like in there. But, well, they're driving out, but they're taking their, I don't know, ice isn't good. Just like Terry said, you got that that milk ice and it's half frozen slush. And, you know, and they only got like 12, 14 inches at the most. And because the lake I'm on is a little lake. I only got a foot over there.
Mm.
And it isn't good ice. It's half milk ice, so. You know, well, it's not a good year to be driving out.
Yeah.
If you got a four-wheeler or a snowmobile, you're smarter to do that. You know, I heard
Brother Butch is getting them on the east side.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and they're driving out of there, so I don't know. It's a weird year, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, like Terry says they're fishing. You know, the guys that hang around there, you know, they got them small houses, and they got them out in the flats. And yeah, they're doing real good out there, too. So fish are going. I mean, there's enough fish in there, nobody takes them, so lake is getting overpopulated, which the DNR says there's no walleyes in a lake.
And that's why there's no big perch.
Yeah.
Too many big walleyes eating the big perch.
Yep, that's exactly it.
But there's a lot of little perch.
Oh, yeah, but those bigger walleyes, they like them bigger perch, you know, it's like anything, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you get them, you know, you get the 3-4 pounders, they like them smaller perch, but you get a 6-8 pounder, they like those half-pound, three-quarter-pound perch, and that's where it separates it, you know, and then you got, you know, people are catching them, like Terry says, in the summer when he gets perch on a launch, he don't even like to take them out of the lake because there ain't that many out there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's through the years, you know, a lot of harvesting went on, and I seen some pictures of the Native Americans that netted out a bunch of perch too, you know, and with their gill nets and stuff and all. Anyway,
yeah,
it's a something nobody's gonna repair. I guess it's just gonna go on and on and on and protect the lake for somebody, you know, certain individuals. So that's all I can say on that part.
Yeah, it's okay, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, Larry. Another 2 weeks here, I'll be older than you, so.
It's going to take that long.
Hear you. Yeah. You know, Grizz, you have to admit that extra month you have on me didn't give you any more wisdom than me.
No, but I got.
I mean, both of us are dumb enough to walk out on thin ice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're just testing yourselves every year just to make sure you're as sharp as you were the year before.
Oh, yeah. You know, like I tell people, if I do fall through, I won't try to get out. Just hold your nose because that's as good as it's going to be.
The only problem is the lake will be dead for 10 years.
Yeah. Well, they'll come back. They'll have a lot of fertilizer down there.
A lot
of poison first.
Yeah. Oh, Grizz. Well, St. Paul's show concluded today.
Yep.
I'm sure that they packed them in there
a little bit. Yeah, especially at the weekend they had, you know, that cool weather, you know.
Yeah.
People didn't go out. The only thing that killed them probably is a football game there, if you know, but well, they still had to, you know, part of the day to go down there and, you know, people that wanted to watch the football game, so
mm-hmm.
You know,
well, they watched a bad game, so
yeah, Yeah, it wasn't good.
Well, the Packers are...
Packers got lucky here.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The action.
Well, throw your numbers out there, handsome guy.
All right. Area code 651-771-6231. You can look me up on the internet, fishwithgrizz.com. And, you know, well, spring's coming, so.
Oh, yeah.
I got a lot of openings. Some are booking, so.
All right.
Yep. So, well, anyway, you guys have a good week. And,
yep.
And, you know, Larry, don't, you know, make your own road when you go up there up on Lake of the Woods. So.
And stop
you
taking people's
the beginning
time.
Of it?
Yeah.
Yep,
I
he needs his.
Been with me, Grizz. We could have uglied him to death.
Oh, yeah.
He needs to bring his own street signs.
Yeah.
Bowling's Way. And then you're done.
Trespass on my tracks.
Yeah.
Take care, Grizz.
Okay, see you guys.
See you, buddy.
Bye bye, pal.
Good night, buddy. Miss ya. That's right.
That's
Rogers.
It.
He's still kicking the Cowboys. Bob Radio wishing everyone a good night. Happy good night, Mark and Brandon.
Good night, everybody.
Week. Night, Larry.
Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you. Till we meet again.
That should tide you over for a while. Bob Outdoors, wrapping up another great weekend. The guys will be back next Sunday at 6. If you missed any part of Bear Facts and Fish Tales or the Four Outdoorsmen, jump on mybobcountry.com and click on the Weekend tab. You can listen back to the shows anytime you need a quick trip through Bob Outdoors.